2 weeks ago, we brought you Whole Life Products and Carriers. Last week was IUL Products and Carriers, good for use in high cash value life insurance. This week, we're talking variable universal life, the vulnerabilities of it, aka why we don't like it very much for this type of stuff. So stick around if you're interested in hearing our thoughts about this product. Welcome to the Life Insurance Financial Education Podcast. We're pulling back the curtain on high cash value life insurance and how it can help you build wealth and achieve your financial goals. I'm your host, James Barber, your Oregon Cash Flow Pro.
My name's Jing with Tech Exam Millionaire Club.
And my name is Carlo Vaccaro with NetWealth Finance.
This week, we're exposing the vulnerabilities of variable universal life insurance. We've got some horror stories that we talked about in some previous episodes with regard to personal experience with it. But at its essence, variable universal life is life insurance with the cash value component directly invested in the stock market. To kick us off, what are some things that you guys have heard as to why somebody should get a variable universal life product? Why is this thing sold? Why are people buying it?
One thing I think people will pitch this as is a way to have a Roth-like account that has direct market investments, but you can pump in a ton of money if you want to, just by adding a lot of life insurance into a VUL. So that's one of the ways that I see this product pitched. And I don't agree with that. I think there are better options, but that is one way in which I believe this is pitched as a product.
So exposure to the stock market, tax-free or tax-deferred growth, similar to a Roth, and presumably access to that cash value via policy loans without having to pay taxes, but higher limits than you would get with a Roth.
Yes.
What I heard is those people, they have to be licensed to sell the UL, right? And they really emphasize the high potential of the rate of return if you put your money in the stock market. Most of the time, they really did not emphasize there's also high return, high risk.
To sell a VUL, you do need to be licensed to sell securities. That's more than just a life insurance license. And they certainly get to take advantage of high assumptions inside of those illustrations. So they look really good. What I see is a few things that I mentioned, tax deferred, you get to invest in the market itself. And I guess the biggest selling point is that tax deferral. I can't think of another reason why you would want to do that. And then, of course, the illustrations have really high assumed rates. And so they look very attractive. Although, every single one I've ever seen has very high expenses to go along with it. Now, I know when I got into this industry, and I've spoken with some of the folks at some of the carriers, ones that were interested in the VULs, their main selling point to me as to why I should get licensed to sell it was big commissions. You could make a lot of money selling the VUL. And in my mind, the way all of these insurance products get sold that have high commissions is they have very high illustrated rates that kind of minimizes the impact of these high commissions over 20, 30 years. And so the client ends up looking at all the big numbers down the road, doesn't pay so much attention to the potential low returns with the high expenses early on and how that might affect their desire to keep contributing to a policy like that.
When considering that you get these high commissions, high expenses in a policy, combined with high risk of negative market conditions, combined with also, you don't always have completely wide options for where those market investments are. It might be proprietary index funds or various things that are less choice than you might have in your regular brokerage. So if I was going to say something about what I would rather do over a VUL, this is probably a circumstance where I'd say, buy a term and invest the difference, or my preference is an IUL. I think that serves a good place that has that downside protection, but still some market upside exposure.
So basically, if you want to be in the market, if you want market exposure, just be in the market.
Yes, I would say that's the thing. With a VUL, I don't see the advantage of having the life insurance for that product I think the first thing I'd mentioned was, yes, people pitch this as Roth-like by virtue of being able to access this through policy loans. So you have similar things like a Roth, but that's, you can have that in an IUL. I would rather have an IUL that has that downside protection. And also I can borrow at a high percentage. Within an IUL, you can go into like very high 90% percentages of borrowing against your policy. So that, I don't think a VUL has that capability of going that high percentage of your cash value.
I imagine it's probably subject to margin calls, similar to if you're actually in a brokerage account and borrowing from that. It's my understanding in the VUL space, you've got index options that could be proprietary. Most of the time, you're going to be dealing with some mutual funds, could be ETFs now, but the insurance company will often have a deal with the mutual fund that they get a cut of the funds that go in there. So they're making money as an in-between on those options. So you end up getting a higher cost experience investing in those index funds that you might not get in the actual market. Now, that's not going to be the case all the time. There are some VULs that actually have options that function like what we get in our IULs. So I do like that you could have downside protection. There are some that offer buffers. There are some that give you some protection to the downside up to a certain point, or there could be a case where maybe you're exposed to some downside, but not others. So you're not necessarily limited to options that are at the full exposure to the downside of the market. So I will grant that there are probably some index options that could seem attractive, and it probably makes it a little bit easier to deal with the insurance company as opposed to just going out into the market and trying to find these same things. Because everything that you see that's available in an insurance product is basically available in the market itself. But it's hard to know how those work, how they function, how to participate in them, and what type of expenses you're going to encounter in that scenario as well. So a lot of times the experience is just easier in the insurance company. But in general, I'm not a big fan of packaging the life insurance with the exposure to the market when it comes at those higher costs, especially with the higher costs of the commissions inside of it added on to the higher costs of the index options or the mutual funds.
Why don't you give us a very quick storytelling about the previous horror story, since it will save people to go retrieve that story. I think it's very good to have that, just reiterate what happened for that VUL policy.
Yeah, so my wife's grandparents owned a restaurant for most of their life, sold it when they got to retirement, and they got talked into putting all of their retirement funds inside of a VUL. One VUL, I don't know who was counseling them on what index options to choose or what mutual funds to choose, but this happened to be right before the Great Recession. So this was in 2006 that they did this. And of course, everything crashed. They ended up losing way too much money of their retirement that they thought was going to outlast them. And they ended up going bankrupt eventually. Because when you're in retirement, you can't afford to have a market downturn like what happened in 2008. Certainly not with all of your savings exposed to the market. Now, they could have had some money in there, a small percentage that's exposed to the market, fine. I wouldn't have an issue with that. Same thing if they had some money exposed to the stock market, as long as not all of it was at risk. Like, that was the big issue. And it really just caused all kinds of havoc in the family when that happened.
I think a big issue is the people who are selling those VUL to those consumers. Those consumers are not really investment savvy. So they don't know how to manage the policy. They don't know how to balance, how to do asset allocation. If they really don't know the underlying risk about this policy, something like that tragically can happen.
And I imagine the sales agent is more of a sales agent as opposed to a finance manager. Now, they've got to be licensed for doing securities, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to manage a policy like they would if they were doing assets under management and really managing somebody's finances in retirement and taking the whole picture into account.
When I was studying for Series 7, Series 66, none of the content really gets into portfolio management. It's like learning about your municipal bonds and things like that. It's on the job stuff that you learn to actually do that sort of thing. And so I think there's a lot of agents who get licensed to sell securities, but they don't actually know how to manage assets because it is a different skill set. So I think that is something to keep in mind with these products.
So they get licensed for that, and then they get tossed into the insurance space, and they don't end up getting the growth that they need from the finance management side of the actual market. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I think that there's just so many different skills. If you're actually managing somebody's assets or your own, that you just learn like over time. You know, I've managed my own portfolios, sort of connected to all of this. Again, I keep stuff. I like life insurance. I think I have a lot of my funds going into life insurance, but I manage my own funds in my brokerage account. I manage my funds in retirement accounts. And so we have experience doing that. And that's a skill set that I've learned over a decade, 15 years of actually investing in the market. And plenty of these people who probably get licensed for securities don't ever actually build on that skill set and invest on their own and manage portfolios. So that's just a thing to consider when talking to a VUL agent.
At the base level, I'm not a big fan of the VUL either. When I look at cash value life insurance and where I want to put my money, I view that as the safe part of our portfolio. I don't have to worry about it being exposed to the downside of the market, whether it's IUL or whole life. It's not going to be correlated to the downside drop in the market. There are circumstances down the road in the variable universal life where if your policy actually loses money, you're going to be asked to put more money in to cover the expenses of the death benefit because you have to have a minimum amount of death benefit in these products. So that could be a major downturn in a market that kind of wipes out your cash value in there. And now you also have to add more funds in order to maintain the death benefit. Maybe you end up risking a lapsed policy. And if that were the case, now you got a tax bill on top of that. That seems like a little bit too much headache and too much risk for what I want to do inside of a life insurance product. Now, if I just invest in the market with the money that I want in the market, at some point, that's going to be long-term capital gains that I got to deal with, not income tax, which is what you get to deal with life insurance if you actually have gains.
The place that life insurance is in my own asset portfolio, just as James said, that is the place that is the safest asset that I have. I don't have any other assets that I don't know of really any other assets that are as secure as life insurance. So for me, I want there to be lower risk. And I view whole life as the least risk and IUL just slightly more risk, but still very, very low risk in terms of all assets that are out there. And so that's the place that serves in my portfolio. And I take bigger risks in my own direct investments.
One thing I want to mention is a lot of the VUL are sold to the older people. But if those agents can sell to the younger one, if they have a really long runway to wave out the market because of the time of the policy, because of the cash value inside of this policy, sometimes it may make sense, but we all should know the underlying risk of this VUL policy, being its variable universal life, is significantly higher than IUL and even more higher than whole life.
Yeah, and in that case, I would think somebody would be better off just being in the market. Now, I do have to say, I have personal experience with a VUL. My first insurance product when I was 19 years old was a variable universal life product. So I had some exposure to the market where I otherwise wouldn't have because I was not paying attention to the market at that age. I had no financial acumen. The insurance agent bought a car from me. I was a car salesman at the time and talked me into getting one of these products and obviously painted a nice rosy picture of it. Turns out it actually did good. I didn't have any issues with it. I funded it for a couple of years and then, you know, I'm young. I don't know what I'm doing. I stopped funding it because I had better things to spend my money on. And I just let it ride. And it actually did fine. You know, I was young. The cost of insurance was very low. So the expenses were not very big. It wasn't a high death benefit either. It was a very small death benefit. So the expenses in it couldn't get very big. And ultimately, I think I held that policy for like 20 years. So I don't really have any complaints about how that one actually did, other than I probably would have done better had I been actually in the market, but I wouldn't have been in the market because there wasn't anybody trying to sell me on getting that money into the market, right? So there could be some circumstances where somebody might get one and, you know, it probably could be better than the alternative, which was doing nothing. But if you're watching these videos, I think you're a little more financially savvy and you're looking at this in relation to what's something else that you can get. It's not that you've got an agent in front of you and this is the only thing they're trying to sell you and you have no idea what else is out there. There are better options in our opinion. In nearly every circumstance, I think there are better options to help meet whatever your financial goals are where we don't have a high commission product, higher expenses for investing in things that we could do elsewhere, and limited options when it comes to borrowing against it than with a different type of product. So I think each one of those needs could be met better elsewhere. I don't know that there's value in bundling all that inside of one product. I guess somebody needs to make that argument if they think that that's the case. I think that about exhausts it on the topic of VUL for us, and I don't think any of us are much of a fan of it. Hopefully the discussion is helpful in helping you understand it a little bit if you've been considering it. Do you guys have a call to action for our listeners this week?
It's time for this week's call to action.
I would say that if you're considering a VUL or even thinking about all of these different things, one of the ways that we have conversations with people when looking at assisting with getting into a life insurance product is we want to assess what your current asset portfolio looks like and determine whether an IUL or whole life might fit into that asset portfolio in that picture. So I think having a conversation with one of us is a good start, and maybe talk to other agents, but and possibly go get an illustration from a VUL agent before you book a meeting with me. I'd love to have a conversation and discuss the illustration that you might get. So book a meeting and I'd love to chat about it.
Well, from me, I really want to encourage everybody to take your own pace. I know we threw out a lot of concepts, a lot of abbreviations and a lot of scenarios at you as well. Don't be too overwhelmed by all the options you have. When you sit in front of an agent, I'm sure there will be a lot of papers, a lot of numbers, a lot of different choices. You still need to educate yourself, since by the end of the day, that's your money. You want your money to grow. You want your money to be in a safe place. And you really need to know what you are doing because you are funding it. You are managing it. So my call to action to our audience is take your own pace, do the education, come to our podcast as often as possible and repeat and hear this video one more time. If you miss something, I'm sure you're going to get different insight each time.
And I'll say that a good call to action for our listeners this week is do your due diligence with whatever products that you're considering. There's always value, as Jing said, talking to multiple agents. If variable universal life is something that you're considering, talk to some agents that do it, get their pitch, and then talk to some people that will have different ideas, different thoughts. It will help you narrow down and figure out who's making the better argument. I think that is valuable information when we're trying to decide between any of these particular products. And everybody has their own opinion. Ultimately, you have to decide how it's going to fit into the rest of your finances. And if we can help you along the way with that, we would love to do so. Be sure to join us next week. We're going to be talking about medical exams and underwriting, things that you're going to encounter if you want to apply for a life insurance policy. And with that, I'm James Barber, your Oregon Cashflow Pro. You can find me on YouTube at Oregon Cashflow Pro, and I'm licensed for life insurance and annuities across the country.
And I'm Jing, your host of Tax Exam Millionaire Club, a school community. We help people to really become tax exam multimillionaires. It's not that difficult, let me tell you. I'm also licensed in several different states, practicing life insurance agent. Really happy to help you in any way.
And my name is Carlo Vaquera. You can find me at netwealthfinance.com or on YouTube at netwealthfinance. And we'll work with clients across the country as well.
We'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Thanks for tuning in.